A reading from Corinthians. Friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you've made your own. This message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, and that you're in this for good and holding fast. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from death on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says, that he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers all at the same time. Most of them still around, although some have since died. That he then spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him. And that he finally presented himself alive to me. It was fitting that I bring up the rear. I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, as you well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. And I'm not about to let his grace go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any of the others? Even then, my work didn't amount to all that much. It was God giving me the work to do. God giving me energy to do it. So, whether you heard it from me or from those others, it's all the same. We spoke God's truth, and you entrusted your lives. In this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Dr. Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long and we've caught nothing." "Well, if you say so, I'll let down the nets." But when they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And he and all who were with him were just amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and and followed him.
What a delightful hymn that was, and you'll see why that is so fitting this morning. It's great to be with you, and I extend Lynn's welcome, and it's just great to be in the house of God together, to be able to be community together. This morning's message is, in some ways, a simple message of the good news of Jesus. But we're all broken people, only made whole through Jesus. And so there's never any dulling down of the message of Jesus, because we all need it, and that's how we are all transformed. I'd like to start this morning with a couple of questions. Now, they are rhetorical. You don't need to yell out or anything, but I think it helps us engage, be part of the conversation. Why is it that we always have a gospel reading in the lectionary? Why don't we ever have four Old Testament readings? Or maybe four readings that focus right in on one particular character from the Bible. You know, maybe Daniel. Oh, Daniel. What a champion he is. Or Moses. There's some good things we can learn about Moses. There was a few ups and downs there. Maybe Esther. What a champion of godly confidence she had. For some of you, maybe the answer is quite obvious, but maybe some of you have never pondered it. The story of Jesus, of God coming in human form to teach us how to live and to bring salvation. In fact, to renew the relationship we broke through sin, is key to our Christian faith. It's far more key than complex theological discussions and ideas. It's far more important than church politics and procedures. But most of all, it's far more challenging than when we'd sometimes like to consider. Who's ever read a story about Jesus? And for just a moment, you reflect on how that might relate to your life. But just a moment. Because the contemplation might lead to conviction, and the conviction might lead to transformation. And transformation means change, and change is hard. Can anyone relate? In fact, how many of us this morning have woke up and intentionally come along to church expecting the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and looking for the ways that God will transform our lives? I know for me it's easy to get distracted from the transforming power of Jesus every single Sunday. See if you can relate to any of these. I'm on a roster, and I have a role to play in the service, yet I forget to fully engage with God's working power in my life because I've got a job to do. Ah, I know this story. I know this scripture. I've heard it preached from every single angle. And yet I forget to fully engage with God's message this time around for my life. I come to church every Sunday. It's what I do. It's what I do on Sunday mornings. Yet I forget to fully engage with God's transforming power in my life because it's a habit, not an intent. Don't worry, I'm guilty of all of these so far in my life at some stage, and they still let me share with you this morning. I'm not here to cast guilt or shame. I'm certainly not here to elevate one person above another. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And yet the transforming power of the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us. Isn't that good news? In fact, it's in our vision statement, is it not? To be people of acceptance, hope, and transformation in Jesus. So will you let transformation happen in you through Jesus? I'm going to take a moment to invite the Spirit to do just that. Will you pray with me? Lord, we invite you in, not because you're not already here, Lord, but because it's helpful for ourselves to vocalize that, to remember that you are here. Lord, do your transforming works as we worship, as we sing together, as we hear your word. May you transform us just a little bit more to look like you each Sunday and each day of the week as our life is worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, thinking back to that story we just heard, the story of Jesus in the boats, I can just imagine it. Jesus, he's got up for the morning, he's taking his morning stroll along the beach. He's chatting to a few people that meet him along the way. Maybe this is where Lynn got her inspiration for her Brighton walks along the beach every week. Through Jesus, probably, must be. All of a sudden, word gets out that Jesus is nearby. And hundreds of people crowd around him, trying to listen to what he's saying. His reputation is spread. Not as a high and mighty king lording his authority over people, but as a teacher, a healer, a man of compassion. Now, your average beachgoer, even maybe Lynn, might get a little frustrated at the large numbers of people trying to eavesdrop on your conversation. But Jesus fully understood his purpose. If he snobbed them off like a regular, important king probably would, he wouldn't reveal God's heart for mankind. In coming to earth, he was full of compassion, and his teaching and his healing reveal his heart for the people. Where there are people longing to hear the transforming message of Jesus, he would regularly take time to share with them. In fact, in Luke 4, just the passage before, that might have been the lectionary reading last week, I don't know, he spent the whole night healing and teaching people. And then only as dawn broke the next morning did he retreat to his Father to be re-energized. In 2 Corinthians, we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we received from God." God, Father of compassion, sent his Son to better reveal his heart for us, his love for us. And what does this mean for us? Well, if we read the passage more carefully, there's a promise followed by a call to respond. God's compassion comforts all of us in our troubles. So that what? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God. This is a message of great comfort and yet great response. God's messages to us are always transforming, and here we're called to reflect on the compassion we see in Jesus, our example, to reflect it to those around us such that they may ask why. Why would this person be compassionate to me? Why would this person buy me a meal and sit with me and listen to me over lunch when everyone is scurrying past busily and just doesn't care? It's in these moments that opportunities open up for us to share the reason for our compassion and the comfort we've found in our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Of course, this is not so that we would be praised as compassionate people, per se. But as Matthew 5 says, "Let your light or your compassion shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." How can we be people full of compassion, whose kindness and love for others is so obvious that it actually has people asking why? Or on a local level, how can we live that out in a church of many congregations, showing compassion, kindness, and grace to one another? The truth is, if the wider community out there don't see that care and compassion lived out amongst us, we might be really being the block between them seeing Jesus. How can we take our love and compassion for others to a new level that reflects Christ? So back to the story of Jesus. We find that all of a sudden he shifts the focus a little bit. He surprises the local fishermen that have been gathered around to listen and whose boat he's using. And he says, go out and cast your nets. Have you ever been struggling for hours, trying to achieve something, only for someone to come past and give you their 2 cents on how it should be done? I mean, I don't do fishing. The closest thing I do is fish a lot of cables through walls. And often that can be rather tricky. I've got a small hole here, and I've got a little hole up there, and got a, you know. And when it's tricky, you've often got someone who comes to us, have you tried this? Well, I've been trying this for half an hour. It's going to get through, but yes, I've tried it. It's annoying, right? But this is basically what Jesus has said to them. It's the morning. These fishermen have come back tired from the night out at sea. They're just cleaning up their nets. They don't want to get them dirty again. Hey, why don't you go a little bit deeper? Jesus. So what do they say? Well, Simon answers, we've worked hard all night, Jesus, and we haven't caught a thing. But because you said so, I will let down my nets. What is it about Jesus that would cause everyday fishermen to submit to his authority shortly after meeting him? With little knowledge of who this man is yet, they obey him, and the power of Jesus Christ is revealed to them in many, many, many fish. So many fish that it starts sinking the boat. What areas of our lives do we need to submit to the transforming power of God in? What is it we hold on to, not sure that we can trust God with? For these fishermen, they first trusted God with their nets, but soon they gave over their whole lives. And we're called to do the same. Jesus says in the Great Commission, go and make disciples or go fishing for all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. In our ever-growing relationship with Jesus, we have the chance to become more and more intimately aware of Jesus' power as we too listen to his teachings, like the fishermen. But even better for us, we can see the big picture. We see his ultimate power over sin and death, and yet sometimes we struggle just to give over our nets, let alone our lives. As we learn to saturate ourselves in God's word, in prayer, in times of reflection, in worship, we can grow in confidence of God's almighty power and better understand that our purpose and our greatest joy is found in serving God as fishers of men and women. And Jesus finishes the Great Commission with words full of comfort. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are not called to fish alone, but to do it through, in and through the power of Jesus Christ. And so, his power gives us confidence. His compassion inspires our engagement with others. But it's the two in combination that are the most amazing. If you think of someone really powerful, maybe let's say Donald Trump, your next describing word is probably not going to be compassionate. And if you think of the most compassionate person you know, the second describing word for that person is unlikely to be powerful. Yet Jesus was perfectly both. And the greatest demonstration of this was his death on the cross, defeating death and restoring our broken relationship with him. As we were so beautifully reminded from the 1 Corinthians verse, and such a beautiful version that just brings that to life. So compassionate that he would depart perfection with his Father to endure the challenges of being human, all to save us who have rejected him and fallen short. So powerful that death could not hold him down. Defeating it, he would rise again, ascend to heaven, and prepare a place for each one of us who would accept him and his invitation for a relationship. And this is why we can expect great things from our Heavenly Father. His word is a love story to us. His heart is longing for us. And his Spirit is forever with us. It's over to us. How do we respond? Let's pray. Lord, the simple message of your gospel, the simple stories through the gospel, are always full of challenges for us. Lord, we're broken people made whole in you. And may we never lose sight of reflecting on your good news, of learning from you, the great teacher. Encourage and inspire us every day to grow and look just a little bit more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.